First Corinthians is a book written to a church in a place, a city, a port city called Corinth. Written many, many years ago by the Apostle Paul, as some churches were established that preach and teach the truth that Jesus wanted them to preach and teach, a truth that He was and He taught. So 1 Corinthians, it starts off with chapter 1, and then you go to chapter 2, and that's how it's segmented today in today's literature. Praise God, although it's not just literature. Hallelujah. Tonight, God wants us to know some things. And He wants to know some things, us to know some things so much that He's willing to bring His Word across to us any way that He can so that it can be received. I'm here tonight because God wanted me here. You're here tonight because God wanted you here.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Now, you might have seen a little bit of God through somebody that brought you, like they brought me, or God Himself. Praise God. But God wants us here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. It takes more than words to save people. That your faith, the reason why He said, I spoke and came the way I did, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world, that come to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And if God didn't love you, He wouldn't prepare anything for you. And if God prepared something for you, He must want you to have it. Amen. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Amen. We'll just stop there. We'll read a few a little bit later. So let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the Word tonight. And just give us a few minutes just to understand what You're saying in Your Word. And that God, Your love will open to us what You want us to have. And help us to see it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. God bless you. Thank you for standing. Verse 10 says, after all the reading we've done so far, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. What has He revealed? The things that have not entered into the heart of man. The things that God has prepared for them that love Him. He didn't prepare something that He wanted to share with the world and then say, guess what, you can't have it. You know, God doesn't play games with us like that. And He's not, and would you like it, psych? No, He doesn't do that to us. He's got all of heaven, and He says, you want it? And then He says, he keeps it out there.
Right.
Hoping that we'll grab it.
Yes.
Because He prepared something. And if you want to be a lover of God, everything that God is, God has, He wants to give it to you.
Amen.
And God did not fashion Himself in such a way that He was unapproachable with all of His splendor, His complexity, and how just big and beyond us He really is. He still made it possible that we could have what He is and be a part of His church family. Isn't that all right? God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, which is a key here tonight. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And praise God. You ever see those search engines on the computer? How many are familiar with the computer tonight? Type in the computer. They have some of these programs where if you're looking for a book, some sort of thing on the net, you type into these places and you hit search or go. And it does a search and finds what you're looking for. Well, when God gives you something that He wants you to have, that's what that's sort of like. He gives you a search engine. He gives you something that searches out and finds out. You might say, does God love me? And then He gives you something And then what he gives you leads you to the Word and shows you he loves you. Because he goes and he searches out the answer and brings it back to you. Like a computer search engine. Isn't that all right? See, God knows what he's doing. He's not complicated. Well, he is, but he doesn't want to be to you or to me because we can't handle his complication. He's big God. Amen. So let's read down here to a verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And if you were to try to frame this message into some sort of Bible study tonight where they have a title and they have a key text to focus in on, I suppose verse 12 would be the one that I would want you to remember the most tonight. And that's these words, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And when there's something that we can know in life, or there's something that we can have, I'm the type of person, I want to know it. You've got something for me, give it. I hate it. Christmas was always rough as a kid because I knew where the presents were because we snuck into my dad's closet and we saw a few. But had he known, oh, dear God, help us. But the anticipation was too much because I knew it was there and the desire in me was, give it. And when God has something for us, and there are things about God and His Word and His nature and all the things that He is, He wants us to know somewhere what He's hoping is that you'll want to know it. See, God's a type of God that, we're going to read that in a minute in John chapter 4, He wants to get close to you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You may not think a whole lot of people in life care about you, and that may be true, and that's all right. They can do whatever they want. But when God wants me, you can just go off somewhere. Because there are some things that He has in His closet He wants to give to me. And they're all mine. He said, my name's on it. And you don't want me having it? Too bad. Tough. Get out of my way. I want it. Sometimes you've got to have that sort of dog-eat-dog mentality, especially when you want your soul to find true happiness. And dear God, when God made everything, including you, and the ability for you to exist, says, I got what it takes to make you happy. I mean, don't we want it? Wouldn't you want it? That's right. So, my key text is verse 12. And it goes on to say, which things we also speak. So, there are some things that we can know, and those things we talk about. And that's what church is all about. We talk about the things that God gave to us freely. He didn't make us pay for it because we had no money. There was nothing that we had of ourselves that could make God give us what He gave us. So very quickly, let me backtrack to the beginning of this chapter, make a couple comments, then we're going to talk about something in John chapter 4 that you might find very beneficial to you. God loves you. The world may not love you, but God loves you. God's people will always love you because they're filled with something called the Spirit of God, and that Spirit is equal to love. You know what a synonym is? It's a word that sounds that's just the same as another word. It's just spelt differently. And when you talk about God, love is synonymous with God because God is love. But He's not the worldly love that sometimes can hurt. He's that heavenly love, praise God, that will save, that will keep, that will never let you go. No matter how bad you become, what decisions you make, good or bad, the love of God will always be there to help you make it all the way. And when God starts something in your life, He plans on finishing it. He's not one that picks it up and says, well, this is a nice book. Like me as a kid, I'd read the first chapter and never finish the book. Then I had to write a book report on it. Never knew how I got past that, but that's what I did. See, God never picks up the book of our life and says, okay, I worked with you as far as chapter 1, but, you know, I'm bored. I think I'll move on to something else. God says, no. I've got about 100 chapters on you, and I'm only on chapter 1. I plan on finishing you. And that's why the Word of God calls Him the author and the finisher of our faith. If He's the author, that means He's the one who writes it. Isn't that right? And if He's the finisher, He's the one that finishes the book and then publishes it. And that's what heaven's all about. He starts you by writing things in your life. What things? The things that He freely gave for you and I to know. And those things that He gives to us gets written inside of our soul. And we become the book He writes. And when we become published, we become published not only in this life, but the final product in glory that is to come. As God enjoys His heavenly library filled with all of us, as we open up pages and say, God, thank You for loving me enough to save my soul. Hallelujah. I want to be a part of God's library, don't you? Praise God. All right. So what I love the most about teaching the Word of God is something that has come to me over the years of living for God, and that's the incredible knowledge that God wants me to know this stuff. And that's what draws me to it. He wants me to know it. You know, you ever get around these people that don't want you to know what they know, and they keep what they know and make you feel like you're under their shoe? That gets me. I'm around people like that sometimes, and I purposely pick their brain to break them of it. And they know, and I know, I'll never understand the level of thinking because partially I really don't want to in some things. But because of that attitude that they demonstrate, I pick at them. Because when we get something in us, especially of God, that we've got and we know so much that we don't want others to know it and we cannot find the avenue to reach them with what we possess, then something's wrong with us. Now what we've become is we've sort of become lords over God's heritage that He's given us, and we're sort of saying, well, we're better than you are, when we forgot that we were the scum under somebody's shoe just a few years ago. We were the scum, but now we're kings. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech. Why? He didn't want to. He could have. Paul the Apostle was a scholar. If you just read all the epistles that he has written, which are noted in history as some of the very first epistles ever written to the church, the earliest writings, Paul was a smart man. Very, very intelligent. He knew the law of Moses inside and out. He could speak multi-languages fluently. He was no dummy. But to the church, he writes some things that are very important here. That stem from chapter 1, but we don't have time to go into that tonight. But he just says, you know, when I came to you, I wanted to know one thing. Is Jesus here? And you know, God shows up to His own church sometimes. He wonders if He's here too. You know why? Because we learn things. We learn how to have church, and we forget sometimes the sincerity of just being the church and just loving our God that loves us and letting our hair down and letting God know that we honor Him, we adore Him, and we're just glad to be here. And we're not here worrying about who thinks what about me. I'll worship, I'll cry, I'll clap my hands, I'll raise my hand. I'll tell you, Jesus, You're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Praise God. And that's what he wanted. And he said, I determined to know nothing. That's why. Now hear what he's saying here very quickly before we move on. He's saying, I didn't come to you with excellence of speech, for I determined not to know. He said, now, in other words, I showed up appearing as a dummy because I wanted what was going to happen when I came to you to be something that came from God. And I wanted the glory of God to have its way. And I wanted the Lord and not all the things that I could preach, that I could say, that would just wow all of you and leave some of you baffled and dumbfounded. I could have came that way, but I didn't, because I wanted to see what God would do. Praise God. Now he says in verse 3, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Just a thought to consider, whether he or they. It's written in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 21, and so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Now connect that to 1 Corinthians 2:3. Now that's speaking about in the old days of Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they came to a place called Mount Sinai. It was a mountain. And God descended on that mountain and He shook it. And there was fire, and there was smoke, and there was lightning, and an earthquake, because the presence of God had descended, and He just shook that natural place, and it caused Moses to fear and quake, or equal to, synonymous with, tremble. Could you see now Paul coming in the fear of the Lord? And maybe in weakness as a human, depending on God, and in much trembling, meaning he was there in the presence of God to say, God, what would you have me do? What would you say? What will you do? I'm here to submit and humble myself under the unction of God, the operation of God. God, I'm just here to see if you're here. I just want God to have his way. Have you ever come to church not determined to know anything but Jesus Christ? Have you ever... Preachers can relate to this. Just want to come to the church and just know, is Jesus still in the midst of us? Because we get so mechanical sometimes. We get to know this church way sometimes so much that we forget. Instead it becomes, who can preach the best? Who can sing the best? Not here, but it becomes mechanical. And we get to thinking too much about what the message is going to be all about. And did I quote enough scriptures? And did I say it just right so that all the brethren are happy? And I get my pat on the back. Hey, it's about more than all that. Could you come to church at some point in your life and just come in fear and in trembling and in awe of the power of God and just say, God, I don't really know what to do, but I'm here just to worship and praise you. I just want to make sure I'm right with God. There are times I determined to know nothing, but that I've got Christ in me, the hope of glory. With all my quest of learning and study and trying to know things, what I really need to know the most is, am I Holy Ghost filled? In other words, have I become a book in God's library? Do I have the search engine in my soul? Do I have what it takes that God said I could have freely? Or have I neglected that free gift that He has given to my soul? I don't want to do it. Push comes to shove. I've got to have the basics that I started out with. Sincerity, the fervency, the excitement, the drive, the love for the God that I serve that saved my soul from the error of my way. All right. John chapter 4. Hallelujah. And that's why it's preaching in his speech wasn't with enticing words of man's wisdom. Because he wanted to be in demonstration. He wanted God to have his way. And he didn't want to just be there as somebody that knew a lot. And that's maybe in a simple way of explaining that passage. But he knew a lot. Don't you mistake in that. You just read the epistles. He knew a lot. I mean, really, in character-wise, he stood out. John chapter 4, but he didn't make himself stand out. Humble man. John chapter 4, let's begin reading real quick here. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. We're going to start with verse 4. Speaking of Jesus, he must needs go through Samaria. And that was another city close to Jordan in Palestine, where that is, over in the Middle East. And Samaria was a city made up of people who were half Jew and half Moabite. And he comes to the city of Sychar, near to a parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son, verse 5. Verse 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, or 12 o'clock noon in our time. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? In other words, in common everyday English, why are you talking to me? Because people like you don't normally talk to people like me. Hey, church person, why are you talking to me? That's what happened in our day. Jesus answered and said these words. And remember, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Hear what he says here. If you knew the gift of God and who it was that said to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. Praise God. If you knew the gift of God. Remember now that we might know we have received something so that we can know what God has freely given to us. And Jesus sat in the well, saw her coming, and asked her, give me to drink. Why are you talking to me? Well, if you knew who was talking to you, and if you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you, give me the drink, you turn around and ask me and I'd give you something. If you only knew, lady, who it was that's trying to have a conversation with you. Praise God. Put your defense down. Praise God. I'm trying to give you something. And the woman, now confirming that she did not know, said, sir, you have nothing to draw with. See, she just revealed the fact she didn't know what he was saying. But you know what? Even if you don't know what he's saying, please understand this. He wants you to know. He wants you to know. And if God wants you to know, who is anybody else to not want you to know? They're nothing. When God of heaven and earth wants me to know that there's something so close to my life that can make such a big difference, that's all I need. Give it to me, Lord. I want to know. And that's what she began to do. Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From where then have you got that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? And he goes on. But hear this question, and I'm finishing. If you knew the gift of God and who it was that said to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. Isn't it amazing that God can ask us to do something or to give him something that we do not have so that we will wake up and realize we need to ask him for the thing he asked us for that we don't have?
That's right. That's good.
Praise God. I'll try to say it again. I know that messes with our thinking, but you know it's God. He said, give me to drink. And he was weary, and I'm sure physically he was thirsty, but he was saying something a whole lot more than just give me some of that water from that well. He was asking this woman to give him something that she did not presently have in hopes that she would realize that he was asking that so that she could ask him to give her what he wanted. Tonight, God wants to fill you, give you something that He calls everlasting life. In other words, He's saying there's a vacant spot on my bookshelf, and that spot's for you. But don't be mistaken, that bookshelf never gets dusty. Every book is read, every book is enjoyed on a daily basis. And there's only one that I know that can do such a great task as to read every book in his library at all times, every day. And that's Jesus Christ, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the one who wants me to know. Hallelujah. So we receive something called the Spirit of God. In New Testament text, it's called the Holy Ghost. It's not Casper the ghost. It's not a ghost. It's the presence of God that fills all things. But that presence wants to get inside of us so that God can start showing us and teaching us what He's all about and what heaven's all about. And there's no one richer than Jesus. There's no one that has more than He has. So remember, if in serving God, and even prior to serving God, if God asks you to do something and you don't have it, and why is He asking me anyway? He knows I can't do it. Understand, He's asking so that you'll ask of Him. So that He can give you what He asked you to give in the first place. How are we going to feed all these people? For He Himself knew what He would do. But He was hoping that somebody would realize, that's right. He just cleansed the leper, raised the dead, healed the sick. Gee, let's ask Him. But you know what? They didn't get it just like we don't get it.
Right.
We're taught of God, come to church because it'll help your soul. I think I'll stay home. Watch this. This is what we say sometimes in prayer, and I am finishing. We say these words, and I'm not saying don't say these after I say this. Just we say it. I say we because I'm included. I'm not trying to set myself apart. We say, God, I just don't know how you're going to do this. Now, after we read this, now we realize we're all, as Sister Jennifer said, guilty. Yeah. Well, instantly now, our head becomes attached to the heart. because we've all done it. God says, do this for me. We say, God, I don't know how we're going to do it. I get to see God now. Duh. You know, hello, I'm still God. You know, is there anybody out there that just heard what I said? I remember once. Praise God. The bottom line of this message is tonight, God wants you to know He loves your soul. He wants to give you something that will change your life forever. See, before I came to God, I knew nothing about what I have now. But when I started being acquainted with this God who was real and He started messing with my heart, I had a choice to make. As God was knocking on the door of my heart and saying, if you open the door, I'll come in, I'll sup with you, and you'll sup with me. And I know how to make some awesome dinners. Hallelujah. I'll feed your soul to the end of time. That's what He's saying. If you'll open up your soul and say, God, whatever you have for me, I want it. I don't understand what this is all about. I don't have to understand. But I do know there's something to receive. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. I don't want to walk around in my life knowing that God has poured around me things that I can freely have, but I've never taken them. All right, let's all stand tonight. When I came to church some years ago, after I had been converted like the Bible teaches us we can be converted, the proper way, not somebody's biased opinion, theological view of the Word of God, but God's actual Word of God, we can all read it for ourselves way. There are some things I did not understand. And I remember pacing back and forth in the basement of my home, memorizing verses of Scripture, believing what I was hearing. And God spoke to me, and I knows the voice of God. And He said, teach that for me. I sat down in the chair, closed the Bible, and I said, how am I going to do that? I don't even know what I'm talking about. I was there in prayer looking for understanding because I did not understand what I was reading. And He has the nerve to ask me to teach what I don't understand. That's our God. And guess what? Since that time, I still got a long way to go. But since that time, I've understood some things. Because when we say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Along the way, He gives us what we need so that when the time comes, we'll be able to do what God has asked us to do. Hallelujah. He's faithful to His promise, who will also do it. Praise God. Lord, we love You tonight. Praise God. Whosoever will tonight, you can come and pray. Praise God. He'll do it for you if you just trust Him. If you just believe with a little bit of faith, that's all He's looking for. Just a little crack that door of your soul open, just a little. And God will take over. He loves you. Amen. Would you come and pray? Let's talk to Him. Oh, hallelujah. Would you pour out your heart tonight?
He loves you. He watches over you because He cares. He loves you. Yes, Lord Jesus, He loves you.
God, I need you right now. Praise God. I need help.
He loves you.
That's what he wants you to hear. No painted prayer. Just tell him.
Hallelujah.
Yes, help me, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I need you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know me better than I know myself. Oh, help me, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Lord, I want to know. Hallelujah.
Yes, the truth.
Oh, yes, yes, Lord. God, would you get close to me? Like you did that woman in the Bible. Would you get close to me? Praise God. Talk to me.
He loves you.
Oh, he loves
yes,
you.
Yes, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Lord, he loves you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.